And we're in Leviticus and chapter 20. And we will be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 27. Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 27. And starting in verse 1, these are God's words. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "You shall also say to the sons of Israel, any man from the sons of Israel or from the alien sojourning in Israel who gives any of his offspring to Moloch shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will also set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given some of his offspring to Moloch, so as to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. If the people of the land, however, should ever disregard that man when he gives any of his offspring to Moloch, so as not to put him to death, then I myself will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut off from among their people both him and all those who play the harlot after him by playing the harlot after Moloch. As for the person who turns to mediums and the spiritists to play the harlot after them, I will also set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people. You shall consecrate yourselves therefore and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my statutes and practice them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. If there is anyone who curses his father or his mother, he shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood guiltiness is upon him. If there is a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, one who commits adultery with his friend's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. If there is a man who lies with his father's wife, he has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. If there is a man who lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have committed incest. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. If there is a man who lies with a male as those who lie with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. If there is a man who marries a woman and her mother, it is immorality. Both he and they shall be burned with fire, so that there will be no immorality in your midst. If there is a man who lies with an animal, he shall surely be put to death. You shall also kill the animal. If there is a woman who approaches any animal to mate with it, you shall kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. If there is a man who takes his sister, his father's daughter or his mother's daughter, so that he sees her nakedness and she sees his nakedness, it is a disgrace, and they shall be cut off in the sight of the sons of their people. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness. He bears his guilt. If there is a man who lies with a menstruous woman and uncovers her nakedness, he has laid bare her flow, and she has exposed the flow of her blood. Thus both of them shall be cut off from among their people. You shall also not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister or of your father's sister, for such a one has made naked his blood relative. They will bear their guilt. If there is a man who lies with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They will bear their sin. They will die childless. If there is a man who takes his brother's wife, it is abhorrent. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness. They will be childless. You are therefore to keep all my statutes and all my ordinances and do them, so that the land to which I am bringing you to live will not spew you out. Moreover, you shall not follow the customs of the nation which I will drive out before you, for they did all these things, and therefore I have abhorred them. Hence I have said to you, you are to possess their land, and I myself will give it to you to possess it, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has separated you from the peoples. You are therefore to make a distinction between the clean animal and the unclean, and between the unclean bird and the clean, and you shall not make yourselves detestable by animal or by bird or by anything that creeps on the ground, which I have separated for you as unclean. Thus you are to be holy to me, for I am the Lord For I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the peoples to be mine. Now a man or a woman who is a medium or a spiritist shall surely be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. And those are God's words. You keep your Bibles open if you want. The laws we heard in the last couple chapters are repeated here with more specific penalties attached to them. Matthew Henry says the purpose of this is so, as we look at the two chapters before, the purpose of this is so that those who are not deterred from sin by the fear of God might be deterred from sin by the fear of the punishments. Hopefully, at least, they would turn from sin to preserve themselves, because if they do these things that are against the moral law, with having some ceremonial consequences and civil consequences, they might preserve themselves. And so we have laws concerning sacrificing their children to Moloch, to false gods, verses 1 through 5, consulting mediums and spiritists, verses 6 and 7, cursing parents, verse 9, adultery, verse 10, incest, verses 11, 12, 14 and 15, 19 through 21, detestable acts like homosexuality, bestiality, and other things, verses 13, 15, 16 and 18, and then general commands to be holy throughout in verses 7 and 8 and 22 through 26. And the major point of this section of Scripture is that sinning against the laws of God requires punishment. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23 tells us. And all of us have broken God's law. We've all sinned, as we've heard in Romans, as we've gone through it. We are worthy of condemnation. We all deserve what was spoken of here, the death penalty, because we can't keep the law of God. And yet there is the way that leads away from condemnation and brings life, and that way is Jesus Christ and faith in Him alone. This we know from what we studied in Sabbath school lately, in John Murray's book, is because Jesus suffered the death penalty, the condemnation for His people on the cross. So we think of Galatians 3, verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. And so let us believe on Him and trust in Him. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for this book of Leviticus. Often, if we read through it by ourselves, we may be tempted to think, well, these things have nothing to do with me, with us, and yet they have everything to do with us, and everything that points us to Christ and the gospel and our need for Him, because we break these here moral laws. We've seen the many ceremonial laws that point us to the sacrifice of Christ, and here now the moral laws, going through even the first couple commandments, that we should have no other gods before You, and that we should not make for ourselves unto You any graven image. And here they had the nations they were, or the groups they were going into, the land they were going into, were people who worshiped false gods. And here the command not to worship like them, to sacrifice their children, but also not to have any of these gods. And then even more so, not to honor our father and mother, that we would not curse our parents, and not commit adultery. We saw that very clearly, Father. And so, Father, we ask that You would forgive us of our sins. We've broken many of these commandments in thought, word, or deed, in our anger towards our parents, or in anger towards one another, hating people, as Jesus said, hating is murder. And even committing lust or adultery in our hearts, or even these thoughts, sinful thoughts that we have, or desires that we have. Father, we've also brought upon ourselves a false worship, but we've also looked to other gods, whether that be money or property or family or things like these. Even in our coveting what other people have and what we are not to have or can't have in our and this world, which is where we live, very rich. And so, Father, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of dishonoring your holy name. Father, you desire us to be holy as you are holy, as Christ is holy. And so, Father, we ask that you would work that in us by your Holy Spirit, that you would continue to sanctify us of our sins that remain. And if there are any here who don't know you, who have not believed on Christ and trusted in him and bowed the knee to him, Father, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit and unite that word with the work of your Spirit and bring about faith by your grace. And Father, we also pray for those who are struggling in their souls. They're deep within their deep in sin and struggling with it. We ask that you would help all of us who do so, who are struggling right now. Father, we ask that you would uplift our hearts and encourage us in Christ, that we would hate the things and the ways of the world, that we would love Christ in his ways, your ways, Father, because we know that there is true satisfaction and happiness in keeping and obeying and loving you. And there is only vanity and discouragement and even a hatred of ourselves when we are entering into sin. And we don't love that. We're like Paul in Romans, in Romans 7, hating the sin that he keeps on doing and wanting to do good, but we're unable to do it. Father, we ask for your Spirit and your help to do it. We ask for your holiness and your righteousness to be worked within our hearts and our minds and our desires and our emotions, even, Father. Pray for that joy that the hills and mountains have, but even more than that. And Father, we do pray for the not only in our souls, our spiritual lives. Father, we ask for our physical lives. You would help us. You would sustain our bodies. We pray for Dina and Jeannie, who struggled much in their bodies. We ask that you would heal them and that you would grant to them a strength, as we would all desire to continue to be able to serve you and worship you morning and evening on the Lord's Day, as you've given us opportunity. And we're thankful that, as we've prayed much for Oliver, we're thankful that he is here now, healed and here with us now this morning and worshiping you with us. We pray that you would continue to sustain him. Father, we pray for this week, where we have opportunity to be with, most likely be with family, extended family, even many perhaps that have rebelled against you and turned from you and played the fool and said there is no God. Father, we pray for our interactions with them, that we would not only be humble and gracious, and yet pray for boldness and those opportunities we have to minister the gospel to them and to declare that Christ is King and that we all must submit to him. And Father, we pray for your Spirit to come and change hearts, even through our opportunities and our evangelism of speaking your word. And Father, we pray also that one sin that is often overlooked and maybe often not talked about very often, of gluttony. We pray that we would not enter into gluttony this week, as many might be tempted to do. Father, we ask for your help as we continue in worshiping you, that we would have freedom to worship in accordance with your word, and that the government would not harm us or try to make us do other things. Father, we pray for our government as you call us to do, for our kings and rulers, that you would save them, that you would bring them to a love of you and a bowing of the knee to Christ, that they would rule according to your word and make laws in accordance with your word and bring about justice in accordance with your word and the principles of it. Father, we ask for your help in all these things. We do pray in your gracious Son's name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.